Under different circumstances, John Quincy Adams might well have made a great president. After all, he was undoubtedly a great man. Far-sighted, industrious, highly moral, and superbly well-educated. He was also remarkably experienced. In addition to several tours of duty as a diplomat, he served both as a U.S. senator and as chief negotiator of the Treaty of Ghent that ended the War of 1812. As Monroe's Secretary of State, he even wrote the Monroe Doctrine. As president, though, he was a flop. Part of the problem was his aloof style. "I am a man of reserved, cold, austere, and forbidding manners," he wrote in his diary with typical self-deprecation. Still, he wasn't too far from the truth. A longtime colleague once called him hard as a piece of granite and cold as a lump of ice. More important, though, was the hatred that Andrew Jackson's Democrats felt for him. They believed that Adams had stolen the 1824 election from Jackson, and they took their revenge by using their control of Congress to stall every presidential initiative, whether they agreed with it or not. Adams proposed a nationwide network of roads and canals to foster commerce and bind the country together. And he wanted to build military academies and other institutions of higher learning to train bright young Americans at public expense. But if the president was for it, then the Westerners who supported Jackson were dead set against it. John Quincy Adams was certainly no small D Democrat. He was much too interested in what the people needed to care what they wanted. He paid little attention to the fact that the nation largely resisted his policies, and he didn't complain much when years later most of those policies were adopted and the credit given to others. Such, he must have known, is often the fate of those in the right office at the wrong time.